Okay, we're going to continue with Maseches Rosh Hashanah Dav Zayin Mebeis. We're going to begin approximately 10-12 lines from the bottom of the page where it says Meisvei. Previously, the Gemara taught that according to Rava, and according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Mishnah mentions specifically four, that there are four Rosh Hashanim for different reasons. Rava says the reason why there are four Rosh Hashanah listed over here is because the Mishnah wants to list the Rosh Hashanim that are L'divrei HaKol, that represent the view of every opinion, and since there is some dispute among the Tanoim as to whether or not there are additional ones, that's why five is not mentioned, for example. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that the minyan four, that the number four that's mentioned in the Mishnah, is because of the fact that these are four months in which there are Rosh Hashanim, even though in one of those months there's actually more than one. So now the Gemara says, Meisei, the Gemara based on this asks a question. There's a brisa which teaches, Shisha asa b'nisan Rosh Hashanah la'omer, and Shisha b'sivan Rosh Hashanah l'shtei alechem. There's a brisa which tells us there are additional days in the calendar which have the significance, which have the status of a Rosh Hashanah. The 16th of the month of Nisan is considered to be Rosh Hashanah la'omer, meaning that is the day in which we bring the Korban Omer, and it's from that point and onwards where the new grain, that which we call Chodesh, is permissible ba'achila. And the 6th of Sivan is Rosh Hashanah l'shtei alechem, because it's on that day that the Korban, the shtei alechem, is brought in the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And it's at that point that the grains from the new crop can be used for Korban, for a Korban mincha. The din is that the 16th of Nisan, the day in which we bring the Korban Omer, allows individuals outside the Beis HaMikdash to consume of the new crop, the Chadash. However, those grains may still not be used for Korban Mincha. That has to wait until the Yom Tov of Shavuos for the bringing of the Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rava, who says that the reason why there are four Rosh Hashanim listed in our Mishnah, so listening Shisha, you should really say six, right? Because Rava was of the opinion that the only ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah are those that are the Divrei HaKol. Well, here this is also Divrei HaKol. Everybody's in the agreement that the 16th of the month of Nisan is considered to be Rosh Hashanah L'Omer, and the 6th of the month of Sivan is considered to be Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak, according to the opinion of Nachman Yitzchak, who said that the reason why four is mentioned in the Mishnah is because there are in 4 months, so listening Chamisha, it should say five, because Sivan was not previously mentioned in our Mishnah. Nisan was already mentioned, so we understand why this was not mentioned in addition, because it was, again, the month of Nisan was mentioned. However, Sivan was not, and so therefore, according to Nachman Yitzchak, the Mishnah should really say five. So Amar Rav Papa, says, Ki kachashiv midi dechayil meorta, midi delochayil meorta lo kachashiv. So Papa gives the following answer, that the Tana of our Mishnah only mentions those Rosh Hashanah which begin, the effects of that Rosh Hashanah begin in the evening. However, midi delochayil meorta, something which the effects do not kick in until the beginning of the next day, in the morning, so those are not mentioned. And so therefore, the effect of these two new examples that are mentioned in the Braisa, of Tezai and Nisan, and the 6th of Sivan, so the effects of these particular days only actually come into effect in the morning, not at night, after the bringing of the Korban Omer, which happens during the day, and after bringing Korban Shtei Alechem, which happens during the day. And that's why they are not mentioned in our Mishnah, so says the Rav, meaning our Mishnah is still somewhat of an exclusive list, and the only Rosh Hashanah that I mentioned in the Mishnah are examples of days in which the effects of those days take place at night. So the Gemara challenges his answer, wait a second, V'harei Regalim, one of the Rosh Hashanah that is mentioned in our Mishnah is Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, right, for the Yisur of Baal Ta'acher. At which point is a person in violation of having delayed the bringing of the various obligations, fulfilling the vows that he had taken. So V'harei Regalim D'Lochayla Mi'orta. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. I'm sorry.
V'harei Regalim D'Lochayla Mi'orta. The din is that the Yisur of Baal Ta'acher does not take a place until the morning. But yet it is listed here as well. Why not until the morning? So Rashi explains over here, you cannot really bring your personal, individual korbanos until you've actually brought the korban of the day. the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. That is the first Korban of the day. And after that point, so one can then fulfill any personal vows and obligations. All other Nadarim and Nadavas could be brought at that point. And so therefore, the assumption that the Gemara seems to be making is that the Rosh Hashanah Regalim does not really take a place and take effect until the morning, but yet that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, well, La'asuye mi korim chai v'koy. The Gemara says, not really, because the truth of the matter is, the obligation to bring the korban begins at the moment you take the vow. Whenever a person takes a vow, makes a commitment to bring a korban, at that point already the obligation begins. The technical prohibition, or rather the technical violation of Baal Ta'achir, may not kick in until a certain point. However, we wouldn't say that this is something, this is not something the lo chayim ayorta. This is really something where already with the beginning of the day, a person is considered to be in violation of Baal Ta'achir, because after all, this was an obligation that preceded the onset of Yom Tov altogether. The Gemara further challenges this assumption and says, wait, v'harei yovlos tol chayim ayorta v'kachashiv. When it comes to yovlos, meaning, we know that one of the examples of Rosh Hashanah that are listed in our Mishnah is the Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, which is considered to be Rosh Hashanah liyovlos. Now that is lo chayla miyorta. That is not something which begins in the evening, because as Rashi explains over here, the assumption we make is that the effects of yovel do not begin until when? Until the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. So therefore, this is not something that takes effect immediately, but yet it is listed in our Mishnah as being among the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokihi, Da'amei me Rosh Hashanah Chayel Yovel. So obviously, our Tana is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that actually Yovel begins with Rosh Hashanah. In the evening, it does not, in fact, have to wait until the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. The Gemara now gives another answer to the question that we asked as to why it is that our Mishnah does not mention the Rosh Hashanah of Shtei Alechem and of Omer. So Rav Sheshe Breda Rav Idi Amar Ki Kachashiv Midi Lo Talu B'Maisa. Those examples of Rosh Hashanah that are listed on our Mishnah are examples, the Lo Talu B'Maisa, they do not depend on anyone's actions. They take place automatically. However, midi the talib maisa, but something which actually requires, which depends upon the actions of specific individuals, so lo kachashiv, those are not mentioned in the Mishnah. So therefore, looking back, what is it that actually generates, that activates the effect of the Rosh Hashanah, the Omer? It's bringing the Korban Omer. That's an action that has to take place first, and it's only following that the Rosh Hashanah La'omer really takes effect. Similarly, when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, the bringing of the carbon in the Shtei Alechem, that's what activates this particular Rosh Hashanah, as it were. And so therefore, these are examples of Rosh Hashanah that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah only mentions examples of Rosh Hashanah that happen automatically, but are not toloi b'maisa, they do not depend on the actions of any individual. Says the Gemara, wait a second, by Rebbe Golim, the midi to toloi b'maisa, but that's not completely true, because after all, the Rosh Hashanah Rebbe Golim, meaning the Rosh Hashanah, which signifies the Yisr of Baal Ta'achir, which sort of activates that Yisr, so that's something which is Talib Maisa, that's something which depends on the bringing of the Karmen Tomen Shel Shachar, V'kachashiv, but yet it is mentioned in our Mishnah. So you see that our Mishnah is not particular in this regard, and the Mishnah mentions examples of Rosh Hashanah that are, in fact, Talib Maisa. So says the Gemara, Baal Ta'achir Memelechayel. It's not true. The Gemara rejects this assumption and says the Yisr Baal Ta'achir Memelechayel happens automatically, independent of anyone's actions. Continues the Gemara on the top of the next Amud Al Chesem and Aleph, Vahare Yovlos. Is that true? Because after all, when it comes to Yovel, so as we already said beforehand, we saw that Yovel is activated with the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. And the blowing of the shofar is an action. So we see here is a Rosh Hashanah that is triggered by a specific action, but yet it's mentioned in the Mishnah. So here's why the Gemara says no. As we already said, Reb Shmuel ben Osher, Reb Yochanan ben Brokihi, that just like we said beforehand, according to the first answer, that it's reflecting the opinion of Reb Shmuel here, now according to Reb Sheish as well, we're saying that the town of our Mishnah must be in accordance with the opinion of Reb Shmuel ben Osher, Reb Yochanan ben Broka, who says that Yovel kicks in on Rosh Hashanah and does not in fact require the Tekiah Shofar of Yom Kippur. And the Gemara then gives one final answer as to why it is that the Tana of our Mishnah does only mentions four Rosh Hashanah and no more. Rav Ashi Yomar Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim Shehin BaArba Rosh Chadashim. That the only examples of Rosh Hashanah that are listed on our Mishnah are Rosh Hashanah that happen to fall out on the first of the month. Meaning, there's something called Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, by definition, always coincides with the first of the month. That's what makes it Rosh Chodesh. What we saw in our Mishnah, however, is that that's not necessarily true with Rosh Hashanah. You can have a Rosh Hashanah that comes out on any day of the month. It's the Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of some specific counting of the year, but Rosh Chodesh, by definition, only comes out on the first of the month. So Rav Ashi says the only examples of Rosh Hashanah that are mentioned in our Mishnah are Rosh Hashanah that happen to also be Rosh Chodesh. Says Gemara, wait a second, Be'echad B'Shvat K'Bei Shammai. Well, not completely true, because as we've seen, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, so according to Beis Shammai, that in fact coincides with Rosh Chodesh, that Echad B'Shvat. However, Beis Hillel told us, when is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos?
Tu
B'Shvat. What we call Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. That's not Rosh Chodesh. So says Gemara, Be'echad B'Shvat, Hachi Kamar, Shlosh L'Divrei HaKol, Be'echad B'Shvat, Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That there are three Rosh Hashanah that in fact are going to be considered Rosh Hashanah L'Divrei HaKol, because they coincide with Rosh Chodesh. And when it comes to Echad B'Shvat, meaning the Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanos, so that's not Divrei HaKol. That's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Hillel. Beis Shammai say that that's Echad B'Shvat, and Beis Hillel, as we saw, said that that is going to be Tu B'Shvat. Okay, now we continue with the two dots on the top of Ches Amud Aleph. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say that Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema is Be'echad B'Tishrei. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah as to whether or not the Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema, meaning the counting of the tithing of animals. So at which point does the new count begin? So every year there's going to be a new herd of animals that's going to be born. So at which point does the count start over again, so I can no longer take sheep from this year and apply them towards last year's count?
So there's
a machlokas, yeah. Exactly. Tanakhama taught that it was Rosh Chodesh Elul, Echad Be'elul, and Rav Elazar Shimon said Echad B'Tishrei. So the Gemara is now going to talk about that particular machlokas. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ushneihem, Reb Meir, who taught that Rosh Hashanah, the Maisa Behem, is Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who say that it's Echad B'Tishrei, Mikra Echad Darshu, which means they are both deriving their opinions from the very same pasuk, which is a strange idea, because usually you would think that each one would be based on a different pasuk, but we're going to see, because of the fact they disagree on how to interpret the pasuk, they both derive their particular positions from the very same pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Lov shucharim hatzon, v'amakim yatfu vor, yisro'au af yashiru, which Rashi explains over here, means as follows. Lov shucharim hatzon, which means the tzon, the sheep, are wearing some additional layers. But over here Rashi explains what that means is this is a way of describing the fact that the animals become pregnant. And so therefore it looks almost like they're wearing additional layers, because obviously they become heavier. So it looks like they're wearing additional layers. Va'amokim yatfuvar, at this time the valleys literally are covered with the tvua, explains Rashi, with the grain from the new year. Yisro'au af yashiru, that at this time, at the time of the harvest, there is going to be the singing, the song, which Rashi explains over here is really something which is a sound of nature, that when the tvua has been lying on the ground and it is dried out, waiting to be harvested, so the winds come and blow through the tvua and it makes this sound. Sounds like almost like a rattling sound, and that's what this pasuk is referring to. So it's somewhat of an obscure pasuk. Now, how does this play into this machlokas? Reb Meir Savar, Amos I love Shulcharim Atzon. Reb Meir understands the pasuk like this. At which point in time, when during the year do we say love Shulcharim Atzon, which you already explained means that the tzon become pregnant, typically. Bizman, at the same time, Shamakim Yatvuvar. Whereas the pasuk is sort of associating these two natural phenomenon. The tzon becoming pregnant happening simultaneously with this description of the grounds being filled with tvua. Ve'emosai amakim yatvuvar, and at which point in time do in fact the grounds become filled with tvua? When do we find that there's a renewal of the new crop. This is Ba'adar. So what can we derive from here? Mis Abros Ba'adar. We can see from here that the sheep become pregnant in Adar. V'yoldos Ba'av. And they are going to give birth in Av. How do we know they give birth in Av? So Rashi tells us because the period of gestation of pregnancy for a sheep is 5 months. So if they become pregnant in Adar, so 5 months later is going to be Av. So therefore, we understand why Rosh Hashanah shalehen el. We understand why Rosh Hashanah will be el, because most sheep will have given birth in the month of Av, and so therefore el now begins the new year, because it would be unusual that sheep will be having babies into the month of el. So this is the understanding of Reb Meir. That's why Reb Meir says that Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema is Rosh Chodesh el. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, Amos, I love shulchan matzon. They say, no. At which point is it that in fact you'll find tvua covering the earth? Bizman sheyisro awaf yashiru. This is going to be happening at a time where, as we said already, where the bundles of grain are singing, meaning when they make these noises. Amos haishibolam amos shira. And when in fact does that happen? That's benisan. It's at that point that the grains are most full and sort of make this rattling sound in the wind. So we see from here that misabros benisan, they in fact, typically, the sheep become pregnant in Nisan, and 5 months later, v'yoldos be'elul, they are going to have their offspring in the month of Elul, and therefore, Rosh Hashanah shalahen Tishrei. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah is going to be in Tishrei. So we see, as the Gemara said, that both Reb Meir, who says that the Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema is on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, who say that the Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema is in the first of Tishrei, Shneiem mikra echadosh. They're both learning it from the very same pasuk. But now the Gemara tries to analyze this machlokes a little further and says, "Wait a second. Idach nami, according to the other opinion, meaning according to Rabbi Meir, who says that the time in which the sheep typically become pregnant is the month of Adar. So haksiv, the pasuk does say Yisro awar af yashiru. In other words, the pasuk over here seems to be associating the phenomenon of the sheep becoming pregnant together with two separate natural phenomena. One is the covering of the earth, of the ground with tefua, and the other one is the completion of the process, which again causes the grain to sing, so to speak. So how does Reb Meir deal with the fact that the pasuk describes Yisro af Yashir, which seems to be a description of Nisan? So says the Gemara, Ahu ba'aflasa da'havim b'nisan. So Reb Meir will say, well, that's referring to the slow sheep, right? There are certain sheep that take a while to actually mate, and so therefore they're not getting pregnant until the month of Nisan. So you have these, you know, the latecomers, the one that actually are not going to be typically delivering their offspring until the month of Elul, but though that's unusual. That's unusual. But the Pasuk still gives them, somewhat of a shout out. The pasuk over here gives them an honorary mention, so it's mentioned here as well. But really, those are the latecomers. V'idoch nami says the Gemara, according to Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, who say that the time the sheep typically become pregnant is in Nisan, haksiv. But wait a second, the pasuk says va'amokim yatvuvar. The pasuk seems to associate the phenomenon of sheep becoming pregnant with this period of the year in which the ground, the earth, is filled with tefua, which seems to be a description of the month of Adar. So how do we, therefore, bring this all together in one pasuk? So says the Gemara, Ahu b'charif yasa, da'asyan ma'adar. This is talking about, again, sort of the exception rather than the norm, certain sheep that are very hasty and are the early comers, and they are the ones who will get pregnant early in the month of Adar. But as we've already seen, according to this opinion, Elazar of Shimon, typically sheep only get pregnant in the month of Nisan, and therefore they assume that the Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behema is going to be 1 month later in the month of Tishrei. So you have over here, again, two different opinions, Reb Meir and Elazar of Shimon, arguing about how to understand this pasuk. The pasuk seems, the way we explain it right now, seems to include two groups of sheep, the normal ones and then the outliers, right? The normal ones, according to one opinion, conceive in Adar and deliver in Av, and therefore the Rosh Hashanah is going to be Elul. And the other opinion says, no, typically the normal ones conceive in Nisan, deliver in Elul, and therefore the Rosh Hashanah is going to be in Tishrei. And the only question is, who are the outliers? The one who come early or the one who come late? And it's with that we sort of make sense out of the whole pasuk. So now the Gemara asks one further question to sort of to push this to a certain point where it seems that one explanation seems more plausible. Says, well, wait a second. Bishlama, according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir, who says that the majority of sheep conceive in the month of Adar, so that's Kiddich Siv, so that seems to conform with what the Pasuk says, Love Shucharim Atzon, Bizman Shemakim Yatvavar. Now the Pasuk basically says, when is it that sheep, as we explained, become pregnant? That's at the time, Shemakim Yatvavar, when the fields are filled with grain. Vikanami, and then the Pasuk says, and you also have, again, those outliers, the exceptions to the norm, Shis Roruaf Yashiru, who will also go ahead and conceive a month later. But that's sort of a natural flow to the Pasuk. The Pasuk is describing, when is it that the sheep typically conceive? When do they get pregnant? That's at a time when you have a lot of tevuah in the ground, meaning that's the month of Adar, and then you have the latecomers. El Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, how we call Reb Shimon, Ibchami Baile, really, the Pasuk should read in the reverse, namely, Love Shuchar Matzon, when is it that the sheep conceive? Bizman She Yisro Af Yashiru, at a time where the grain is singing, right? And that we explained in the month of Nisan. If you can, and then you have the early, the ones that come early, Shamakim Yatuvar, who will actually conceive earlier. According to Reb Lezer and Shimon, the Pasuk doesn't really read so smoothly, says the Gemara. And the Gemara doesn't really answer this question directly, but maybe based on this, the Gemara says, Elaba Rava, Rava therefore suggests a completely different explanation to understand the Machlokas between Reb Meir and Rav Shimon. Elam Rava dekuli yama love shulchan matzon bizman shamakim yatvavar. Ba'adar. Rather explains no. Everybody's in agreement. Then when the pasuk says, when is it that the sheep get pregnant? That's in the month of Adar, which is described in the pasuk as amakim yatvavar. V'hacha, and over here, b'haikra k'miflugi. They're actually arguing about a completely different pasuk. The pasuk says aser ta aser. The pasuk says, we just read this several weeks ago in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah describes the tithing of one's, in this case, of one's grain, aser taser is called tvuas arecha, all your produce, and you should take meiser. So b'shnei meiser sakasim medaber. So they darshan in the pasuk, since it says aser taser, that the Torah seems to be alluding to two separate meisers, echod meiser behema, ve'echod meiser dagan. One is the tithing of animals, and the other one is the tithing of grains. So Meir Sovar, Makish Maiseh Behem L'Maiseh Dagan. Meir says that the Torah is equating, drawing a sort of an association between these two types of Maiseh. Ma Maiseh Dagan Samach L'Gomro Isuro. Just like when it comes to Maiseh Dagan, at which point do we tithe the grain? We do it Samach L'Gomro, right after it is finished, the production of the grain, the growth of the grain is finished, that's when we go ahead and we take Meiser. When we harvest it and we bring it into their house, afterwards we go ahead and we do the tithing. Af Meiser Behema, so the same should be true when it comes to Meiser Behema, Samach L'Gmaru Isuro. Basically, when the process of the development of the, or it's not really development, but the process of the completion of the animal comes to its completion, which is when they're born, that's the time where there should be Meiser. So that's the opinion of Reb Meir. That's why Reb Meir says that the Rosh Hashanah L'Maiseh Behemah is Rosh Chodesh Elul, because really the animals are born in the month of Av. Reb Lozer Reb Shimon Savi, no. Maiseh Behemah L'Maiseh Dagan. I'm sorry, Makish Maiseh Behemah L'Maiseh Dagan. He agrees. Aser Taser tells us that there's a connection between these two types of tithing, Maiseh Behemah L'Maiseh Dagan. However, what that teaches us, according to Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, is different. Ma Maiseh Dagan Rosh Hashanah Shalom B'Tishrei, Af Maiseh Behemah Rosh Hashanah Shalom Tishrei. They come to a different conclusion, and that is that the Hekesh is as follows. Just like when it comes to a Maiser Dagan, when it comes to the tithing of grains, we've learned that the Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei, or in the month of Tishrei, so too when it comes to Maiser Behema, the Rosh Hashanah is going to be in the month of Tishrei. So according to Rava, Reb Meir or Elibazar Reb Shimon are not arguing about when in fact animals conceive and when they typically deliver. We saw that the Pasuk, according to Rav, is interpreted sort of the simple way of reading it, and that is that animals, the sheep, typically conceive in the month of Adar, and they deliver their offspring in the month of Av, and Rosh Chodesh, and really then it should have been that the Rosh Hashanah would be Rosh Chodesh Elul. However, the question is, how do we learn the this hekesh. What do we derive from this hekesh of aser taser shtei meiser kasam medaber? According to Rameir, we learn that the meiser, the obligation of taking meiser, immediately follows the completion of the production of whatever it is that we're talking about. So just like dagon is completed and immediately followed by the tithing, so too over here when it comes to meiser behema. That's the opinion of Rameir. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we learn something different from this hekesh. Namely, that just like Maiser Dagon is something which happens in the month of Tishrei, so too the Maiser Behema will happen in the month of Tishrei. Okay? All right, let's go on. Then the Gemara says, two dots about 15 lines or so from the bottom of the page, Be'echad b'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. The Mishnah said that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. It's the beginning of the year for years. So says Gemara, L'mai Hilchosa. What is the halacha that is teaching? What is the practical significance of this idea of Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim? Samar Papa, but Papa says, L'shtaros. This has to do with the dating of documents. This takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. This is really the first topic that was discussed, Rashi and the Mishnah discussed, and I think the Gemara explained a little bit as well, that documents have to be, there has to be a standard for dating documents in order to know whether or not a loan document, or a loan rather, which the document represents that loan, preceded or followed the sale of particular properties. Because when a person goes ahead and borrows money and does so with the drafting of a document, with a shtar, so the properties that he owns at that point are going to be, there's going to be a lien on those properties, and if he subsequently sells them and he doesn't have money to pay back the loan, so the malva can go ahead and collect from the lukuchos, from those who have since borrowed the property. Obviously, the malva can only do that with properties that were sold after the loan. He cannot do that to properties that were sold prior to the loan. So we need to have a uniform standard to know how to date documents. So Rav Papa says that's the halacha that we learn from Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. Rav Papa says l'shtaros. The Tanan, as we learn, shtari chov hamikdam in pesulin. The Mishnah teaches, the Mishnah Shvius, that when it comes to pre-dated documents, if a person goes ahead and has a loan and goes ahead and predates the document, psulin, such shtaros are going to be invalid. Machlokas as to how invalid they are. Can they not be used at all? Can they be used in certain situations? But the idea is that that's a big problem because that potentially puts lukuchos at great risk, unjustifiably, because there's no way to know exactly when this loan actually took place. Amucharin, however, when it comes to shorichov that are post-dated, so then kasherin, even though the shtar doesn't really tell us when the loan took place, however, the kasherin, because the lukuchos cannot lose, the only one who stands to lose over here potentially is the malveh, but, you know, that's the price he pays for conducting business with a post-dated document. So that was sort of the risk that he assumed. But we see that the halacha cares. I mean, it really matters, la halacha, as to how we date documents. It says, wait a second. But now we learn in the Mishnah, Echa b'nisan Rosh Hashanah l'mlachim, v'amrina l'ma'ichosa v'amrivchiz l'shtaros. Wait. Our Mishnah tells us that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'mlachim, and when we ask, what does that mean? What's the halachic significance of that? We said l'shtaros. So, we seem to be trying to solve one problem. We seem to be trying to solve a problem over here, creating a uniform standard for dating documents, and it turns out that we have two different dates. One is the first of Tishrei, and one is the first of Nisan. What does that help us? So it says, Gemara l'kashya kan l'malcha Yisrael, kan l'malcha Yimas Olam. The question is, what are we counting from? Are we counting from the beginning of the reign of a Jewish king or of a non-Jewish king? And apparently there were two protocols. So it would be, there would be times where if a Jewish king would be the one who would when there would be Jewish kings who would be ruling in the land of Israel, so then the documents would be dated accordingly. However, when the non-Jewish kings would be ruling the Jews, so then we would be following that system of dating. But the point is that, you know, in a sense, there were, even though it sounds like it's, you know, it could be confusing, as long as you know that there are two different calendars and you know which one you're referring to, so that there should also be no problem over here. It's sort of like we have today. We have, you know, a secular calendar, we have a Jewish calendar. So you know which you just have to be, you know, talking about the same calendar at any given point. But the point is that we have over here two different systems of dating. We have dating from Malchus Yisrael and dating from Malchus Yimas Olam. Says Gemara, Ella Hodam Rav Chizah, wait a second, did Rav Chizah teach previously? Lo shanu el Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yimas Olam Metishrei Meninan. Rav Chisda Mas Nisan Asal Hashminan. Rav Chisda already taught us this. Rav Chisda Daf Gimel taught us that there are two different dating systems, that there's Machi Yisrael, Machi Masolam. So you mean to tell me that Rav Chisda was teaching me something that really was explicit in the Mishnah all along? So it says Gemara, no. Rav Chisda Kroya Asal Hashminan. Rav Chisda was not teaching us something that the Mishnah does. Rav Chisda was, his Chiddush was showing us how we learn this from the Psukim. If you forgot, you can go back to Daf Gimel. You'll see that Rav Chisda said that we derive this idea from Psukim. But our Mishnah is not teaching what Rav Chisda taught. I'm sorry, Rav Chisda was not coming to just teach us to repeat that which is found in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is teaching that, in fact, when it comes to dating, we have two different systems. We have the Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei, which is considered to be Rosh Hashanah Lishtaros, and we have Aleph Nisan, which is considered to be Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim. We're saying really means the base, merely means the same thing, but one is talking about Malchus Yisrael, one is talking about Malchus Olam. Says the Gemara, finally, Vibay Seima, Rav Chisda Krav Zera Masnila. Or you could say that actually Rav Chisda Hosek Rav Zera, then Rav Zera Amelutkufa. Rav Zera teaches that which it says in our Mishnah, that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, it doesn't mean L'shtaros. It has nothing to do with documents. Rather, it's a tekufa. It has to do with the seasons. At which point do we count the seasons? We know that there are four seasons during the solar year. And the first one is Tekufas Tishrei. And it's important to know when the seasons are, because even though, you know, people think that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, it's not completely true. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, which becomes adjusted in order to be able to remain perpetually aligned in accordance with the dinim, with the solar calendar. So it actually matters at which point in time the lunar calendar begins, as well as does when the solar calendar begins, and the seasons start with Tekufas Tishrei. Rabbi Eliezer, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar who says, B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, that the world was created in the month of Tishrei, and that's why we always begin to count the Tekufos from the month of Tishrei. Okay, we'll stop here. We got pretty much close to the bottom of the daf. Shkoyach.